And I hope when I do that, that you realize that I'm really trying not to share a story so that that you like me or you get to know me a bit better. Although, sure, that can be part of it. But when I'm sharing these stories, I really want you to connect them with the scripture so that we can understand it and apply it into our lives. And so that's why I often tell these little stories. And so it's often I find that people come up to me and go, oh, I remember that story about this or that. And I'm like, oh, good. And do you remember why I shared that story? And sometimes people say, oh, yeah, because, and then they connect it. And other times they're going, no, but it was a great story. And when people say, no, it was just a great story, I feel like I've failed. And so today I'm going to start off with a little story. So don't come up to me later or another next month or and say, oh, I really liked that little story that you shared about your son. Or you can, as long as you say, because it reminded me of this important truth. Deal? Otherwise, I'll stop telling my stories. Okay, so a little story. My children are typical children, and whenever we go on a long car ride, and for children, you know, a long car ride is anything over 25 minutes, right? And so whenever we go somewhere, my kids are like, oh, man, it's so long. And, you know, anywhere in Toronto is over 25 minutes. So they're often, I mean, what can we do? Because my kids, they don't like to read in the car. It gives them a headache. And so we have these CD books that we can listen to, Odysseys and things like that. But we've heard them all now. We've run out. If anyone has any, I'd buy them off of you. I'll pay you a fortune, whatever. So we get bored of those, and so we play this little game, and maybe some of you have played it, and it's called, we call it telephone, other people call it broken telephone, and it's rather challenging when you're driving to play this, because if you've played it, you know what you do is you give a little message to the person next to you, and they tell it to the next person, they tell it to the next person, and then eventually it comes to the last person, and they share out what the message is, and it's never right because, you know, as it passes from one person to the next, somehow the message kind of gets distorted. Well, my son loves to play this game, and usually the first round, he'll do it perfectly. And, you know, if the message is something like, we're going to Canada's Wonderland today, okay, and it'll get around to my son, and if he hears it, and it's usually pretty good, and we're going to Canada's Wonderland this day or something. It's just a little slight change. But then after one round, maybe after two rounds, my son, although he still likes this game, it's a little bit boring, and so he kind of spices it up, and he makes sure that when it goes past him, it gets really messed up. So instead of, we're going to Canada's Wonderland today, it'll be changed to, we're going to blah blah land to ride donkeys. And he thinks it's hilarious. And so the next person, we're going, and I'll have to whisper it to my wife because I can only whisper the one way when I'm driving. And I'll go, we're going to la la land to ride on donkeys. And then somehow my wife will then repeat this, and my son will just kill himself laughing. Ah, ha, ha, that wasn't it. And then, you know, it was, we're going to Canada's Wonderland today. And my wife's like looking at me like, what are you doing, Glenn? You know, you can't hear very well. We got to get your ears tested. And I'm like, well, we see my son laughing, and we realize, oh, he's messed it up again. And it really, really, really bothers my daughter because she wants to do it right and wants to get it through the whole thing and it be perfect. And whenever he starts laughing, she knows, and she'll, like, say, Matthew, say it right. And he'll, I did. And, you know, and then it comes out, everybody has to jump on their head. That wasn't it at all. And he thinks this is great. And you know, with just a little change, it can change the meaning of the little message that's going around our circle. And there's only four in our family, so it doesn't take very long. And even with four people, we mess it up. Whether my son's playing it the right way or playing it his way. But, you know, when you just change a little bit, that message can be communicated totally different. And in this passage, we're looking at some men that Jesus is talking about. And he talks about the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And these kind of groups of people, they take a message that Jesus has and they mess it up. Kind of like broken telephone. And Jesus is telling us right at the very beginning of the passage we read, as they're traveling across, he says, be careful. He says to be careful and be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And some things that the Pharisees and Sadducees do kind of can mess us up. But it's not what you think. And so before we really look deeply into God's word this morning, I want us to pray and ask that the Lord would speak to us so that we're not mishearing what God wants to communicate to us today. Okay, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come humbly before you. We know, God, that the only reason we're here is because of your grace. Grace that's been extended to us, and your mercy that's been lavished upon us. We know, God, that we don't deserve your forgiveness, nor do we deserve to be called your children, and yet you love us so much that you do, and you embrace us, and you desire us to become even closer to you than what we are. And so, God, as we look into your word today, that's our desire too. That as we leave this place in an hour or at half an hour or whenever it is, God, when we leave this place, we won't be the same because we've met with you, the one true living God. And we know, God, that your spirit is at work with us and in us today as we look into your word. So speak to us, God. Give us your heart. And help us to hear from you what we need to apply into our lives, whether it's for today or for some time in the future. And we pray your blessing upon our ears as we listen to your word. In Christ's name we pray these things. Amen. Now, I share that little story at the beginning because whenever I read this passage in the past, and there's a similar version in Mark chapter 8, I believe it is, whenever we hear, be on your guard against the yeast or the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees, my immediate thought is, oh yeah, they had it wrong. Pharisees, they were like the letter of the law and you know, keep the law and be perfect, and we better add more to the law to make sure that we're all, you know, perfect people and stuff. And, so they kind of miss the mark of the relationship. They're more on the, you know, do this and do it right. And the Sadducees, they just didn't get the fact that Jesus was the Messiah, and that's why they were sad, you see. That was always my first thought, is that it's the teaching, and just the teaching of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And yet this passage is more than that. And so I want to share with you some of the things that God showed me, and I hope that it comes out clear, because sometimes when God teaches me something, I get excited about it, and I try and explain it, and it comes out garbled, but hopefully with the Holy Spirit's help, it'll hit us, and it'll be like, oh yeah, I see that. And so there is part of it that what the Pharisees and Sadducees were teaching and kind of guiding people towards was incorrect. But not everything. In fact, Jesus lifts up the Pharisees in part of the scripture. Yeah, he has a lot of confrontations with them as well. But there's at one point when Jesus says, unless you are upright like the Pharisees, you will not get into heaven. And so Jesus isn't totally against what the Pharisees do and teach. Of course, there are other parts where he's definitely aggravated and he flips over tables and things like that. But what is Jesus talking about here? What's he saying for us to be careful of? And what's he telling his disciples to be careful of and to be on your guard against? Well, he says against the yeast of the Pharisees. Now, of course, the disciples had forgotten their bread. And so for them, they're thinking, oh, he's talking about the bread. Stupid John, you should have brought the bread. Or you were supposed to remind me, Matthew. Or, you know. But Jesus wasn't talking about bread. And in fact, it's so obvious that Jesus wasn't talking about bread. And he reminds them, guys, I'm not talking about bread. Come on, don't you remember on that hill over there when there were 5,000 people and there were only a couple of loaves? It wasn't a big deal. And remember just in chapter 15, well, not that they talked about the Bible that way, but in chapter 15, there were 4,000 people and how many basketfuls were left? So Jesus wasn't concerned about food because he knew that the Lord could provide, and they had seen it. The disciples had seen it. But what Jesus says, and listen to what he says at the very beginning to his disciples, and it's in verse, sorry, I need this now. I can't see the little numbers. Oh, yes, in verse 8. So Jesus, it says, is aware of the discussion or their discussion, and he begins with this. You of little faith. You of little faith. Why are you talking about bread? And then he reminds them, don't you remember I've done all this? You of little faith. How is it that you don't understand that I wasn't talking to you about bread, but be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees? You see, at the beginning of chapter 16, the Pharisees and the Sadducees had come to Jesus, and they were demanding a sign. So if you have your Bibles, look back in chapter 16, and this is what it actually says. Actually, it says exactly that. The Pharisees and Sadducees came to Jesus and tested him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. And Jesus, upset, says, when evening comes, you say it'll be fair weather, for the sky is red, and in the morning, today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs. A wicked and adulterous generation looks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah, which is the 3 days in the tomb, and then he's risen from the dead. And so you see, the Pharisees and the Sadducees had asked for a sign. And then Jesus says to his disciples, be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And they don't get it. They're saying, oh man, we forgot the bread. And then he says, you have little faith. Could it be that Jesus is actually talking about faith here? That a little bit of faith will, or a little bit of doubt or lack of faith will spread. You see, they demanded a sign from Jesus because they doubted who Jesus is or was. They doubted that he was the Messiah. They said, show us a sign and prove it. Remember in the schoolyard when you were a kid and someone would say, oh, I can do this or that, and you'd say, prove it. That's what the Pharisees inside, prove it. Give us a sign, come on. And they not only questioned who Jesus is, but also they questioned his authority. Oftentimes, by whose authority do you forgive this man's sin? And they were often questioning his authority and doubting who he was. And Jesus says, you have little faith to his disciples. You have little faith. You see, lack of faith will spread, just like yeast. And any bakers here? Any people bake? Okay, one person. Yay. Okay. Oh, two. Okay. Okay. Well, for those of you that don't bake or have never watched the baking channel or something, okay, yeast, looks pretty useless. It looks like sand or, I don't know, there's not much to it. It looks like little round baubles. Okay, they don't taste very good. I don't recommend you eating them. Okay, you put them in with the milk and the sugar and the flour, and you mix it up, and you just shove it somewhere, and it starts to rise. And that's what the yeast does. The yeast kind of infects it. That's not a good word to say about your bread, right? It's been infected by the yeast. The yeast has spread and made it all bubble up, and that's why you get to do the fun part, and you punch it, and then it goes, and then it rises again, unless you use a bread maker, and then it just does it all for you. But that's the way, the old-fashioned way. It would rise, and then you have to punch it and knead it, and then it would rise again. You have to do that like 3 times or something. And it's cool. If you've never made bread, look it up in a book and see how to make it. It's kind of fun. Okay, and the yeast goes right through it and spreads, and it affects, that's a better word, not infect. It affects the whole batter. Okay, and the whole thing rises. And that's what lack of faith can do. It can affect, although I think a lack of faith is a better word, is infect the whole batter. And it can not just affect you, but those around you too. Yesterday, we were planning to go to Canada's Wonderland. It rained. So we didn't go. And instead, we decided, well, we have to do something fun for the kids because we promised we'd go to Canada's Wonderland. And I wasn't going to stand in line with rain and then just to find out, oh, sorry, you can't be on this. So we decided, okay, let's go to Miko Toys. That's kind of fun. It was the grand opening yesterday. Never go to Miko Toys on the grand opening day. It's very crowded, just so you know. Well, we go there, and it's kind of fun, and my kids love looking at all the toys and everything. And then afterwards, Cheryl Ann and I, my wife and I, are kind of tired, and the kids are hungry now, and so we're like, okay, let's go and find a playland, and we'll give them some food and stuff, and we can just kind of sit there and relax. So we go to a close Burger King, and it has a big, huge playland. Oh, this is great. My kids were thrilled, and it was like 3 or 4 stories high. I don't know. It was a big one. It's right near Kennedy Woodbine and Highway 7, I think. If you like playlands, go there. It's a good one. Well, maybe you won't want to after this story, though. So my kids go up, and they're having a great time. They're like, yay, you guys are the best parents ever. And so I'm like, yeah, we're your only parents, so it doesn't really count, right? So, well, it does count, because it was genuine and from their heart. So they climb up, and they're having a great time, and then my daughter comes down, and she's like, Mom, it's gross. And we're like, what? Someone pooed and peed up there. Am I allowed to say that in the pulpit? You know? Someone pooed and peed at the top of the playland. And my wife's like, ugh. Well, you're not going back in there. And so my kids were like, what? They're like staring at the best playland ever, and we're like, you can't go. Okay, now we've already disappointed them, right? You're not going to Canada's Wonderland today. And no, we're not buying you all the toys and Miko Toys either. And so like this was like the making it up. So my wife says, don't worry, I'll take care of it. So she goes up, finds any man behind the counter that has a white shirt or a woman that has a white shirt, and she says, you the manager?
Yes, I am.
Well, and my wife, God bless my wife. I wouldn't have the nerve of my wife. She says it nice and loud so everyone hears. There's poo and pee in the playland, and my kids are not going up there until it's cleaned. What are you going to do about it? So now everyone turns to look at my wife. And so the manager says, oh, we'll take care of that right away. So, immediately he comes out and he shuts down the playland. Now, I asked my daughter a little bit more, like, okay, there's poo and pee up there. Well, what does that really mean, right? And she said, yeah, well, it was just a little poo. Well, okay. But you know what? Just a little bit of poo affected the whole playland, right? I don't want my kids up there. And then to make matters worse, when the lady, because the manager made a woman go and clean it. I don't know why, but I guess the first guy that went out, he couldn't fit, so he got the small girl to go up. She went up with paper towel only. So as she was climbing up, I didn't have the heart to wait till she went all the way up. So I went, she was just kind of twisting her body, and I said, have you got anything to disinfect it with as well? Because it's one thing to kind of wipe it so it looks clean. It's another thing to make it clean. And she goes, oh, yeah, right. And she comes back down. So, whew. Okay, now why was I sharing that story? A little bit of something not good affected the whole Burger King. Nobody wanted to, well, a lot of kids wanted to go in, but none of the parents wanted their kids to go in there, right? Because it's gross. It's unhealthy. And a little bit, a little lack of faith, a little bit of doubt can spread and spread. And a little bit of doubt in our lives begins to affect how we live our Christian walk. When you have a little bit of doubt, that doubt will begin to grow. And we are supposed to, what? Live by faith, walk by faith, not by sight. And yet oftentimes, we don't. Now let me give you an example of that. I love having kids. They're great. If you're ever going to be a pastor, have kids. They give you good illustrations. My daughter was in a grade 5-6 split this year, and she's in grade 5. She's the short one in the class. And grade 6 is when they have the growth spurt, so they're like this and this for the grade 5s and 6s. And so we found out that they were going to be changing the classrooms because there were too many kids in some of the classes. And so we began to pray that God would make the right teacher be my daughter's teacher. See, the grade 4-5 teacher my daughter had last year, and he's a great man, and I would thrive under his teaching. He's kind of a laid-back guy, and some kids do really well with that. He's like, oh, yeah, so we got an assignment, and just make sure it's done, and I'll collect it. And he would always forget to collect it. But eventually, everything came in. And he was, you know what? That worked well for some kids, but my daughter is a very highly structured girl. And the grade 5-6 teacher was highly structured, and if you made a peep when you weren't supposed to, you were out of the room, and you're down to the office. And wow, my daughter is great with that, because she's like, give me the box, I'll stay in it. Okay, and so my daughter is like totally obedient and will do exactly what she's told, and she likes to know what she's supposed to do, and so she thrives well in it. And so we were praying, God, let her get Mrs. Marie, please, 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 and not the other guy. And we would pray that way. I mean, we were advocating for our daughter, and my daughter prayed that too. And then we found out the night before, we ran into another mother. And she had said, oh yeah, we heard about the classroom changes. So I went right into the principal and I told her that my daughter better be in that class because my daughter needs structure, and we've had to hire a tutor for her to make up from last year and this and that. And so my wife said, maybe we should do that too. We should write an email and call the York Regional School Director or something and make sure that our daughter's in with the right teacher. And we started to have doubts. And we started to think we should take things into our own hands and do it in our strength. And my wife said to Leanne, do you want me to talk to the principal? Boy, this is putting the foot on the other. My daughter a woman of God already. If you go to the principal, you could mess up God's plan. We prayed and we asked God to take care of it. So if you go in and mess it all up, then we won't be in God's plan. And my wife and I took a step back. And we were like, yeah, you're right. We were doubting that God would help make the right choice. And you see, like, it's not a big amount of doubt. And it wasn't a life-changing thing, but a little bit of doubt. If we had just been like, you know what, we better step in and help God out here. Then the next time when we have to trust God, we'd probably do the same. And then the next time when we go on a mission trip or something, we'll have to orchestrate everything. And soon, eventually, how are we trusting God when we're doing everything? And you see how just a little bit of lack of faith can grow. And that's what Jesus is really speaking out against. You of little faith, or where is your faith? He says to his disciples. You see, Jesus was worried that now his disciples, the guys that he's been investing his life into, are now beginning to be like or warning them to not be like the Pharisees and Sadducees, who doubted who he was and doubted his authority. And he wants them to make sure that they don't have doubt. And that's why right after this passage, Matthew puts it in an incredible way. You see, Matthew, the book of Matthew was written more so to the Jewish people, and it's to show to the Jewish people that Jesus truly is the Messiah. And so right after this passage, when he's saying, be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. In other words, don't have a lack of faith. Trust in me and know who I am. You see, the next part of the chapter is Peter's confession of who Christ is. See how it's sandwiched? It begins by the Pharisees and Sadducees, the leaders of the church, saying, we need a sign from you. And then at the end of the story is Jesus saying to Peter, who do you think I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ. Not because of any great sign. Listen to what Jesus says. I hope I can find it quickly. Verse 17. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. See, faith comes from God. Faith comes from God. And it's not from outward signs and miraculous things. It's okay to have those things. It's okay to see God in things. But we need to have faith, not just when miracles happen. In John chapter 10, verse 3, verse 14, verse 26 to 27. I just wrote down all of those verses. You can write them down if you want, but basically they say this. My sheep know my voice. If you are my sheep, you will know my voice. And I believe that we, as his sheep, or as his followers, need to know God's voice. We need to know his voice, so that we don't lack faith. Now, another little interesting thing here that I noticed, and I read this, and then I looked at it myself, and I went, wow, that's in there. I didn't notice it before. Okay, this is the other thing that I'd like to highlight on. So we need to be careful that we don't have a lack of faith. I got to say that the right way, right? One false word there and it changes completely. Make sure that we don't have a lack of faith, because it can spread and infect our whole being and the way we live. But the second thing that is in this passage is this. Jesus never did explain what he meant to the disciples. He didn't explain it. Remember when Jesus gave the parable of the sower? When the man is scattering the seed and some lands on this soil and that soil and the other soil. And then later on the disciples came to Jesus and they're like, what? And he says, well, the sower, the seed is the word of God. And some falls on this path and that's like this kind of person. And then there's this kind of person. And Jesus explains it to them. But he doesn't do that here. He doesn't come right out and say, well, you see, the yeast actually works through bread and it rises and it infects the whole thing or affects the whole thing. No, this is what Jesus did. At the beginning, in verse 5, be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Then, in verse 11, how is it you don't understand that I wasn't talking to you about bread? Okay, that's the only part that he explains. I'm not talking about bread, guys. In other words, think deeper than that. Think deeper than that. And this is what he says. But be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. He doesn't explain it to them. And then it says in verse 12, then they understood that he was not telling them to guard against the yeast used in bread, but against the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. See, they were teaching some things wrong. They were teaching that it's okay to doubt who Jesus is. They were teaching that it's okay to question Jesus' authority. And yeah, they were teaching some other things. And they were teaching through their life that a lack of faith in Jesus. But this is what I believe too. Jesus doesn't explain it because he wants his disciples to begin thinking deeply and reflecting on the truths that God reveals to them. Before, when he was first starting out, he explains, okay, the seed, it's the word of God, and the good soil is someone who hears my word and acts on it and changes their life. But now he's saying, just says it again. He doesn't explain it. So he's training his disciples to think deeply about the revelation that Jesus and God give to them. And he's not content any longer at this point just to spoon feed them all the time. He wants us to grow spiritually and not necessarily to be dependent on others all the time. It's good to be a body of believers, and I'm not saying don't be in a small group or a Bible study, but we need to make sure that ultimately we are the ones that are responsible for our spiritual growth. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Okay, good. Glad you agree with me on that. Because it's not Pastor Stan's responsibility to make sure that you're doing your devotions or that you're reading God's word. That's up to you. That's between you and God. Now, we may, as spiritual leaders or as a friend in someone's life, we may see that you're not growing and we may question it, but ultimately we can't make you grow spiritually. That's God and you. And God, you know what? Well, not the one good thing about God. God has many good things. But one of the many good things, there we go, about God is that he doesn't let us remain content for too long with where we are. He keeps pushing us and urging us and knocking us on the shoulder and reminding us, oh, yeah, okay, got it. He doesn't let us stay where we are. You see, right after that, right after Jesus is demonstrating to them, okay, you need to think deeper. And then he says this. Now, I don't know if it was immediately right after or not, but then he comes to his disciples and he's like, who do the people around say that I am? And then they're like, oh, yeah, some people say you're a prophet, and some people say you're John the Baptist, and some people say you're Elijah, some people say you're a really good teacher, some people say you're the carpenter from Nazareth. And then, who do you think I am? See, he's showing them again, think deeply. Who do you think I am? And then Peter says, you are the Christ. You see, he's not content with just look around and see what everyone else is thinking. But now, what do you think? Think deep. What is God showing you? And I believe that that's what God wants us to be like in our walk with him. When we experience something painful or tragic or something like that, why is God letting me go through this? You know, when my daughter was being bullied, you know, and I prayed to the Lord, Lord, let me become a little child just for a day so I can go in there and I can beat up those other girls that are torturing my daughter. You know, that's the dad in me, right? I'll teach those twerps a lesson. You know, but God, you know, a spiritual man in me was also there, and he's like, Lord, what are you trying to show my daughter? What are you building in my daughter? And look at her now. She's a little woman of faith, teaching me to remind me we prayed and we asked the Lord to take care of it, and we just need to leave it there now. Wow. Bang. Thank you, Leanne, for being the Holy Spirit at that moment to me, for being my teacher. So I believe that this passage has a lot in it. It's reminding me that we can't just rely on our Sunday school teachers or the pastors that might come in or our youth group or college and career group or our small group to make us grow, but we need to take responsibility for it ourselves. And if we're not growing, maybe we need to look a little, maybe we need to start on the surface and we need to go, what am I doing to facilitate myself growing spiritually? Or you know what? Am I content with where I am with God? Just even asking those questions are actually pretty deep questions. And then the thing is you have to actually answer them, though. If you're not content with where you are, then what are you going to do to change? Oh, well, you know, I've heard since I was 3 years old that I should be reading my Bible. Okay, let me dust mine off. Maybe I'll start. Maybe that's all it is for you, and just start there. Or maybe it's, you know what, as I go through my life, I need to say, Lord, as I'm going through this day, can you reveal yourself to me? Or help me to be just to be aware of your presence as I go to work today. Whatever it might be, but make sure that you're growing with the Lord and that you are beginning to go deeper than waiting until the pastor explains a passage of scripture to you. When you read it, you know what? There are lots of passages in the Bible that are confusing. I don't get them sometimes myself. But what I do is I pray, Lord, I don't understand this one. Can you show me? And he does. He does. Sometimes not right away. Sometimes he does, though. Or he's like, well, it doesn't matter if you know the whole thing. This is what I want you to know. And he shows me. So, I hope that as we've looked into God's word, maybe a passage that you've read a few times in the past, that you've gained something, and that the Lord will not allow you to let doubt and lack of faith to grow in your life, but that you counter that with making sure that you are growing. Just like Jesus wanted his disciples to do. He wanted them to grow. He didn't want them to continually rely upon him, but to take responsibility for their own spiritual growth. So I pray that for you this morning. And in fact, why don't we pray? And we will ask the Lord that he will be growing us up so that we are mature men and women of faith. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. It is full of truth, and because we know your word is full of truth, when we read your word, God, help us to know what to do with it. Not just to go, wow, I'm glad I read that, but to really seek your face, to ask you to show us what to do. And God, this morning, as we read your word, we realize that sometimes we do allow a little bit of faith or a little bit of doubt to come in, and it can affect all of us. It can affect our lives in bad ways. And so, Lord, when we have bits of doubt, may we combat against those doubts by remembering who you are, by remembering what you've done in the past, by claiming your promises in Scripture. Whatever it is, Lord, we pray that you would help us to knock out those doubts and replace them with faith. And also, God, I pray for each and every one of us here this morning that you would help us to be growing in the knowledge of who you are and to be growing to be spiritual men and women who are growing in you, so that when asked by others about you, we would be able to say, you are our best friend. We are so close to you, Lord. And Lord, we do pray that. Help us to take responsibility for our walk with you. And we know, God, that you embrace us all the time, and that when we turn to you from our sins, from our waywardness, that you accept us back. So thank you for that truth, and help us to rely on it when we do notice we're going the wrong way. And God, please draw us closer to you as we walk in obedience and as we walk in faith. In Jesus' name, amen.